Chapter 14, Ghosts of the Past. Luo Bingha didn't know why he'd been so reluctant to reclaim Xin Mo. The sword's spirit yielded to him as easily as a maiden's kiss. The leather-wrapped hilt molded to his grip, the weight of the blade a natural extension of his arm. Red light gleamed bright along the sharpened edge and dark in the depths of the blood grooves, a reflection of the Zuiyin on his brow. "You will not find me so easy to control this time." He warned the consciousness that butted up against his like a tiger demanding pettings. When he refused to yield, it curled around him, settling into quiescence. No dark whispers this time, just a deep thrum of satisfaction. It purred, in a voice that sounded like his own. "There is only one master here." Luo Bingha nodded, glad that Xin Wu understood. "Luo Bingha." His eyes snapped open. He couldn't recall closing them. At the edge of the platform, Shen Qingqiu watched him with cool reserve. Only a step back and he'd be swimming in the lake of vampiric spirit water. One hand was tucked behind him. The other toyed idly at the fold of his belt, where a fan might have been, if he thought to pack any for Luo Bingha's descent into the abyss. Skin feeling tight at the reminder that Shen Qingqiu didn't join him by choice, Luo Bingha took a step towards him. After months of fighting side by side, he couldn't miss the minute flinch, the way Shen Qingqiu tensed to step back. "Bingha." Shen Qingqiu's voice wavered, ice cracking under the heat of Luo Bingha's gaze. "Did something go wrong?" "Is that why you're so nervous, Shusun?" "No. We worried for nothing. Like this, Xin Mo is no match for this lord." Luo Bingha offered a reassuring smile and his hand, his fingers curling in on themselves like seared paper when Shen Qingqiu eyed it warily instead of taking it. "Is that so difficult to believe?" Shen Qingqiu huffed and lifted his chin. "Of course it is. If that golden finger of yours is behaving, it's only because it's waiting to ambush you later." "Shizun is right, as always. All the more reason to leave this place before it pounces." Laughing softly, Luo Bingha held out his hand once more. Shen Qingqiu was cautious, that was all. It wasn't a rejection of him. "You'll never reject me again." "I suppose we can agree on that," Shen Qingqiu said, and folded his hand into Luo Bingha's. A tug pulled Shuzun close, his small catch of breath, a hook of desire sinking deep into Luo Bingha's gut. He took a moment to savor the lithe body pressed against him, the flash of warning in green eyes as Shen Qingqiu brought his hands up to rest on Luo Bingha's chest.
"What?"
"So Shuzun won't get lost along the way."
"I'll never let you go again."
Luo Bingha was half tempted to lay him down and take him here, a pleasant farewell to this hellish place. But Shen Qingqiu deserved to be courted. A proper cup of tea, a meal that didn't taste of ash, a bath, clean clothes, a bed. Luo Bingha could wait that long to take him apart.
"You're mine."
"I'm taking you out of here, Shuzun," he said, winding an arm around Shen Qingqiu's waist and pulling him even closer. "Just as I promised."
"You always have been."
Feeding Xin Mo a bit of his demonic tea, Luo Bingha cut a slash through reality and pulled them through to the other side. They emerged in a quiet bamboo grove, draped in the gold of a setting sun. It might have been any place in the world, but the cool mountain air and the purity of the spiritual energy marked it as familiar, as special. Luo Bingha took a deep breath, and something snapped and settled within him. The fear that they'd return to a broken world, either the one he'd left when he died, where Sangqiong was no more, or a new one, born of the mess they had only just started when they fell into the endless abyss.
We've made it. We're really here.
A shudder passed through Shen Qingqiu. He pressed his face to Luo Bingha's shoulder, as he'd taken to doing in the absence of his fan. Luo Bingha stroked his hair, giving him the moment he needed to collect himself. And it was only a moment. Soon enough, Shen Qingqiu pulled out of his arms, smoothing his robes as though they were seven layers of fine silk, rather than whatever stained and tattered scraps remained, stitched together in an attempt at decency.
We should... Bath, clothes, food, sleep.
Luo Bingha wisely left off the other activities he had planned.
Whatever the state of the world, it can wait until tomorrow for us to face it.
Shen Qingqiu chewed on his lip, but finally nodded.
Presuming the world doesn't find us.
Which it did, the moment they emerged from the grove into the garden of the bamboo house, in the form of Ming Fan, who dropped the broom he'd been using to sweep the path.
Shuzun, he whispered, clutching empty air. Xiao Shidi.
Fury flashed through Luo Bingha at the unwanted presence, the obstacle to his plans. He had Shen Qingqiu for himself for so long, but only now was there peace to enjoy it. How dare Ming Fan intrude? His anger cooled at a touch from Shen Qingqiu, and he let himself be pulled back. When had he moved forward? Let Shen Qingqiu step between them. Fought the urge to cut open reality again and drag Shuzun back to the abyss, where Luo Bingha was the sole recipient of his attention.
Just the two of us. Everyone else is mere fodder.
You're Zuiyin. Hide it,
Shen Qingqiu hissed over his shoulder, before turning to Ming Fan and saying,
As expected, head disciple has maintained the tranquility and order of this master's home while he was away. Well done.
Ming Fan's chipmunk smile showed too many teeth. Luo Bingha fantasized removing some of them for him, and his eyes when they filled with tears, and his scalp when Shen Qingqiu patted his head. He had to shake his own hair forward. For some reason, his mark wouldn't go away. It pulsed hot on his brow. He grunted a greeting when Ming Fan stopped fawning over Shuzun for long enough to remember Luo Bingha was there. And then he was gone, sent off with instructions to fetch water, food, robes, and to say nothing to anyone.
All of Qingjing Peak will know within a Shichen,
Luo Bingha grumbled.
Then that's a Shichen we have to put ourselves to rights. Let me see.
A cool hand brushed his hair back, pressed over the heated skin of his brow. That touch was enough to settle Luo Bingha's ragged thoughts and let him banish the mark of his heavenly demon heritage. Nudging into Shen Qingqiu's hand so he wouldn't remove it, Luo Bingha asked,
Do you think he noticed?
Perhaps he should slip off and silence his Shixiong while their Shuzun bathed.
Noticed what?
I saw nothing. Anything Ming Fan noticed, he must have imagined in his shock. Come along. Shen Qingqiu's touch fell away, but he caught Luo Bingha's hand before he could complain, and tugged him into the bamboo house.
I should have a spirit-sealing pouch we can use to hold that monstrosity, and talismans to seal it, at least for a little while.
Yanking free of Shen Qingqiu's grip, Luo Bingha snarled, Why the haste? He had plans. They had plans. After months of miserable slogging, of staying strong and never relaxing their vigilance, weren't they allowed a moment to rest?
He prefers you when you're weak.
Yes, like that crybaby version of himself that sobbed and clung to a soft, kindly Shuzun. Shen Qingqiu turned to face him, hand tucked behind his back. He still lacked a fan, was still letting Luo Bingha see his concern rather than hiding it.
Bingha, please, didn't we agree that Xinmo is dangerous?
He fears your strength.
Yes, he always had. That was why he'd pushed Luo Bingha down into the endless abyss. Fear.
His fear is delicious.
Hunger clawed at Luo Bingha's stomach, the tiger awake as though it had never slept. Its breath stank of old meat and terror.
It's been so long since I've fed on it. I want to taste it again.
Luo Bingha gagged on the hunger that assailed him. The images of Shen Qingqiu in the water prison, eyeless, tongueless, limbless, tormented to his limits and yet refusing to succumb like so many women had. Until that last torment, broken shards of Xuanzu, scattered before him.
Gagging, Luo Bingha flung Xin Mo across the room as though distance might make it easier to resist the sword's hunger. It didn't. Luo Bingha didn't. He didn't want to. He didn't want Shen Qingqiu's fear. Not like before. He clutched his head as though he could tear the insidious thoughts out with his hair. No, shut up. I don't want. You don't want. Feel how you want it. Do it. Seal it. Silence it. Had it been whispering to him this entire time? Even now, he couldn't tell which thoughts were his. His knees cracked on hardwood. He curled in on himself, a parody of a kowtow, whispering, "Sorry, sorry, I'm sorry." His nails gouged splinters in the boards, parting the smooth bamboo as easily as flesh. As easily as Shen Qingqiu's flesh had parted under the tiger's claws. The rustle of paper was a whisper under Xin Mo's roar, until the hunger eased and Luo Bingha's mind went quiet. "Breathe. Bingha, I have you. Breathe." A hand stroked down Luo Bingha's spine, the pressure keeping him from falling back into the abyss within himself. He followed that touch, that voice, breathing, counting. Open his eyes and give names to the world around him. Make it real. Real, like the arm around him and the lap he was half sprawled across, the lingering scent of lemongrass under the stench of blood and ash.
Shizun? Is it gone?
Sealed, for now. Shen Qingqiu tried to pull away, relented with a sigh when Luo Bingha wrapped around him and wouldn't let him move. We'll need to find a more permanent solution.
You knew that it was affecting me.
He'd hardly felt it until it was almost overwhelming.
How?
Shen Qingqiu's snort ruffled his hair and warmed his brow.
Bingha might be subtle. That OP toothpick is not. I should have been able to control it.
He was stronger now in every way over how he'd been before. He knew what to expect.
And yet, so had Xin Mo. It's the same Xin Mo,
Luo Bingha whispered. Those flashes of a tormented Shen Qingqiu hadn't been his imagination. They'd been Xin Mo's memories. Fear nearly dragged him back into that shivering fetal curl. He couldn't escape it. Not even death. Not even having his soul burned to ash and his memories imposed on another, younger him was enough to free him. Nothing could. He was doomed forever. Shen Qingqiu's snort dragged him out of his spiral. Clearly. Fate help us all if there were two of them. He still didn't understand. Luo Bingha struggled to explain.
No, I mean, like us. Like we're the same. It's Xin Mo fed by decades of my glorious conquest, tyranny. It came back, or its spirit did.
The hand stroking his hair stilled, the slow rise and fall of Shen Qingqiu's breath caught on a hitch. Luo Bingha didn't need his sword to sense his Shizun's fear. With a sword like that, Shen Qingqiu said slowly, is there any difference between the blade and the spirit?
No.
And Luo Bingha had fed Xin Mo with thousands of spirits to make it stronger. In a voice made small by shame, he said,
I don't think I can fight it.
Then we're fortunate that was never the plan. Just do what you can. This master will not let you fall to it again. Squeezing tighter, Luo Bingha felt the hard knot of something tucked into the belt at Shen Qingqiu's back. And then he remembered. The guardian's knife. And how Shen Qingqiu had kept his hand on it the entire time Xin Mo held Luo Bingha in its sway. Yes. If it came to it, he could trust Shen Qingqiu to do what was needed to protect the world from a Luo Bingha twisted by Xin Mo. He relaxed with a sigh as Shen Qingqiu resumed combing through ash-thick tangles.
Luo-Bing-He gave a pathetic whimper when Shenting-Chou tried to pull away again, tightening his hold. He wasn't ready yet to let go of this precious person, until a soft rap struck his head. And another, like rough kisses from a bamboo spirit lover. Shuzun had found his fan again. "You sticky bun, let this master go." The blows fell like gentle rain, not one of them the least bit painful. "Ming Fan will be back soon. And with all the questions we're going to face, I'd rather not start with, what's going on between you and your disciple?"
"I suppose I owe Shuzun some face, after everything he's done for me."
Reluctantly, Luo-Bing-He let himself be pushed away. Watching through a fall of hair, he said,
"But when the question is asked, what will be Shuzun's answer?"
With that, Luo-Bing-He headed to the kitchen annex to see if there was anything stocked to make a proper meal, leaving a sputtering Shenting-Chou to hide his blush behind his fan. Ming Fan found Luo-Bing-He in the kitchen annex. In addition to a bundle of disciples' robes, he brought an entire basket of fresh produce, herbs, and paper-wrapped meats.
"Some things never change. Didn't even need Shuzun to tell me that Luo Shidi would be out here,"
he said, as Luo-Bing-He sorted through the basket like a treasure hunter faced with an undiscovered trove. After months of disuse, the kitchen was clean enough, but empty of anything except staples. Ming Fan also hadn't needed Shuzun to tell him that Luo-Bing-He would need more than rice, salt, and tea to make an adequate meal. That he would want to cook, rather than let Shuzun eat whatever was on offer in the dining hall. The memory of his anger under Xin Wu, of his renewed desire to stake Ming Fan out for vermin to feast on, was enough to make Luo-Bing-He's hands tremble as he unpacked a jar of salted duck eggs, shells still glistening in the brine. He set the jar aside before he dropped it and shattered all the eggs within.
"Shidi looks different."
"Yes. Imprisonment and hell will do that to a person. Care to experience it firsthand?" Luo-Bing-He braced his hands on the counter and watched his nails blunt against the wood until the surge of bitterness passed and he had himself under control again. He'd forgotten how hard it was last time to return to a world where everything was soft and the things trying to kill him posed no more threat than an ant. Like expecting a final step when ascending a staircase, only to set foot on flat ground, every moment was a jolt he felt up his entire spine. Except when he was with Shuzun. Who knew? Who understood? Who was there like a rail to keep him steady? "This Shixiong has questions. Everyone's going to have questions." Ming Fan's face made a funny little twist, possibly in response to whatever he saw in Luo-Bing-He's expression. He sighed. "But you kept Shuzun safe and returned him to us. The rest doesn't matter. Shidi did well." A hand landed on Luo-Bing-He's shoulder, sending up a puff of ash. White teeth flashed in a chipmunk grin. "Though he might want to wash up before he prepares Shuzun's meal, unless he means to join the coals under the hearth." With another pat and a faint cough at the dust it loosened, Ming Fan left the kitchen, blissfully unaware how close he'd come to losing a hand. Ash tickled a sneeze from Luo-Bing-He, and another. Ming Fan might be annoying, but he wasn't wrong. Following him out as far as the yard, Luo-Bing-He made quick use of the cistern for a bucket bath, grateful for the spring-cold water that shocked his confused irritation into quiescence. The familiar rhythms of cooking were enough to smooth out the remaining wobble in Luo-Bing-He's equilibrium. He lost himself in them, in the luxury of having ingredients and implements and time while Shuzun scrubbed away a year of grime. The soft splashes from behind the bathing screen, when he entered the house to start laying out their meal, were sweeter than any music played on a guzheng. The rush of displaced water as Shuzun stood was a finishing cascade of notes. Luo-Bing-He bit down on a chuckle. The scent of his cooking was a better lure than precious star orchid nectar to draw Shuzun from whatever else he was doing.
"Bath first," Shenting-Chou said,
When he finally emerged from behind the bathing screen in a cloud of steam-warmed skin and scented oils, his damp hair coiled long and loose over his shoulder, rendering the two thin layers of inner robes translucent in a way that left Luo Bingha's mouth dry and his need rising. He'd seen Shen Tingqiu in less. It wasn't the hint of bare skin that stole his breath. It was the intimacy and trust that even after their return, Shen Tingqiu would let Luo Bingha see him less than fully put together. Rather than sitting at the table, Shen Tingqiu settled before the bronze mirror and the chest where he kept all his hair oils and ornaments. While he deftly pulled spiritual energy through his hair to dry it, Luo Bingha's gaze lingered on the nape of his neck, bared by his ministrations. Well, maybe it was a little bit the exposed skin. The cistern was enough for me. I don't want to wait. He gestured at the food, as though that's what he was talking about. A single arched brow was more effective than any words for Shen Tingqiu to say that he knew it wasn't. Instead, he fished a few warming talismans from the scatter left on his desk after he sealed Xinmu. Slapping them on the covered dishes, he said, "It will keep, and our appetites will improve when you've rid yourself of the smell of lingering ash." Pouting, Luo Bingha let himself be bullied out of his clothes and into the wooden tub. His heart as warm as the water when he realized Shen Tingqiu had refreshed and heated it after his own soak. And warmed further when Shen Tingqiu remained at the side of the tub, long-fingered hands skimming over Luo Bingha's skin, digging through his hair to scrub away the dirt too persistent for the quick bucket wash he'd given himself. Even the sharp raps of his knuckles the few times he tried to drag Shen Tingqiu into the water with him were more pleasure than pain, like spice added to a savory dish. Eventually, Shen Tingqiu was the one who dragged Luo Bingha out of the tub to be toweled off with brisk and rough affection and wrestled into the robes Ming Fan had brought. They were almost long enough, but not nearly broad enough in the shoulders or chest. They gaped open no matter how tightly Shen Tingqiu tried to tug and tie them closed. "We can have new disciple robes made for you," Shen Tingqiu said, working out the tangles that had twisted Luo Bingha's hair. "I'll speak with Ming Fan." "Don't go." Catching his wrist, Luo Bingha brought those clever fingers to his lips and nibbled on each one. The peach blossom blush that had faded as Shen Tingqiu cooled down from his bath reemerged to creep over his cheeks and down his neck. "In the morning, I meant. It can wait until then," Shen Tingqiu said, belatedly yanking his hand out of Luo Bingha's grip and fleeing to the table to uncover the talisman-warmed dishes. It wasn't much of a meal. He hadn't had time to braise, bake, or roast anything, or to develop the rich stocks he used as a base for so many of his sauces. But the tea hadn't gone stale in their absence, and the rice alone was a luxury they hadn't tasted in months. This quiet peace was another luxury, and yet Shen Tingqiu seemed more fidgety than he had when they feared an attack at any moment. Whenever Luo Bingha leaned across the table with some select morsel for Shen Tingqiu's bowl, the gap in his robes would widen, and Shen Tingqiu's gaze would catch and stay fixed like Luo Bingha had been bathed in glue. Whatever he held in his chopsticks plopped back into his bowl until he realized he was staring and dropped his attention back to his meal. Luo Bingha managed not to laugh, though several times he had to hide a grin behind the curve of his teacup. When his bowl was mostly empty and Shen Tingqiu was left idly chasing single grains of rice, Luo Bingha caught his hand again. Setting the chopsticks aside, he lifted it to his lips. Time to address that other hunger. "Bingha." Shen Tingqiu's weak attempt to admonish him only goaded Luo Bingha to turn his hand over and nip gently at the petal-thin skin of his inner wrist. "Shuzun must be tired. Should this disciple help him prepare for bed?" Shen Tingqiu snorted inelegantly, another intimacy that only whetted Luo Bingha's need. "The sort of preparation Bingha has in mind will only keep this master from his rest for another shichen," he complained. But Luo Bingha noticed he no longer tried to retrieve his hand. Emboldened, he nudged the sleeve to fall and followed its silken path down Shen Tingqiu's arm to the soft inner bend. The pulse under his tongue fluttered with the delicate strength of a humming swift.
Shuzun holds this disciple in such low regard.
Luo Bingha lifted his head, letting false tears well up. Shen Qingtuo made a soft, worried sound and swayed closer to him. Ah, that crybaby from the other world might have been onto something.
Surely it would be all night.
You!
Laughing, Luo Bingha ducked closer, ready to take the fan beating his insolence had earned him if it netted him a kiss in return. A clatter of pebbles from the path outside broke the peace of the bamboo house, and the door burst open in a way it wasn't designed to do.
Shen Qingqiu!
Liu Qingge blew in like a storm front, all gray swirling robes and lightning flash eyes. Yue Qingyuan entered after him, a gloomy rainfall dragged in the storm's wake.
They gave us longer than I expected, Shen Qingqiu muttered, tugging free of Luo Bingha's hold and rising to his feet.
With a surreptitious kick, he goaded Luo Bingha to sullenly do the same. A mask Luo Bingha hadn't seen in months came down over Shuzun's expression, leaving it smooth as porcelain and slick as wet marble.
Zhang Meng Shixiong, Liu Shidi. As you can see, we have returned. A little worse for wear, but...
You're alive.
Liu Qingge frowned like he didn't understand the concept, and Luo Bingha pondered the possibility of giving him a counterexample as reference, or making him one. A twitch too minor to be called a smile tightened Shen Qingqiu's lips.
Don't sound so disappointed, Liu Shidi.
Xiao Qiu.
If Liu Qingge sounded baffled, then Yue Qingyuan was overwhelmed, eyes gone liquid dark with unshed tears. Knowing now that Shen Qingqiu was susceptible to such machinations, Luo Bingha fought back the urge to dash them away and take the sect leader's eyes while he was at it. He might not have worried in the past, but he'd listened in on their conversation before the Immortal Alliance conference. He knew that they'd come to a resolution of the conflict that had divided them for two lifetimes. Even now, Shen Qingqiu was sighing with put-upon patience rather than snapping at the man for the pet name, or flinging barbs to force him to retreat.
I suppose one night of rest was too much to ask.
Where have you been? Shang Qinghua told us you got pulled into the endless abyss.
A huff suggested that Liu Qingge didn't believe it.
Where were you really? When did you get back? Why didn't you notify us? What is he doing here?
Shifting his attention to Luo Bingha, Liu Qingge raised Cheng Luan. Blood singing, Luo Bingha braced himself, ready to meet his shushu with fist or blade, until Shen Qingqiu stepped between them.
Enough! My disciple is here because without him I would not be here. Yes, we fell into the abyss. We've only been back long enough to scrub the ash from our skin and burn our old robes.
He flicked his fan open, as though wood slats and painted paper could cover the state of their dishabille. And I intended to send word in the morning after enjoying a peaceful night in a bed that wasn't trying to burn, drown, devour, or otherwise kill me. Now that you've destroyed my door and ensured my continued well-being, perhaps you'll allow me that small courtesy? Liu Qingge was a practiced blade, sturdy but not terribly sharp. He continued to scowl at Luo Bingha like Shen Qingqiu hadn't spoken. It was Yue Qingyuan who answered, all knit-brow concern.
Shen Shidi, since you've been gone, some rumors have spread about your disciple. He's
half-heavenly demon, Liu Qingge spat, when Yue Qingyuan ran afoul the rocks of diplomatic phrasing. Tian Langjun's brat, who spent the past few years conquering the demon realm, instead of seeing to his assigned sect business.
This disciple thinks Liu Shushu means in addition to his assigned sect business,
Luo Bingha muttered, and pouted when it earned him a fan wrap and a dark look from Shuzun.
Not helping, Bingha,
he managed to say with hardly a movement of lips. To the others, he said,
this master knows of his unruly disciple's lineage and business. What he does not understand
is why Zhanglin Shixiong and Liu Shidi are making Qingjing Peak's business their business. Spreading his hands, a useless conciliatory gesture, Yue Qingyuan said,
Shidi, with everything going on, he can't remain here.
Cold cracked through Luo Bingha. It's no different than before. It will never be different. They'll never accept you. Then I guess we'll be going. Come along, Bingha. Shen Qingqiu's fingers threaded through his, cool and dry, but warm enough to thaw the chill that had overtaken Luo Bingha. Will Yue Zhengmen allow us time to dress and pack, or would he prefer Peak Lord Liu drive us off immediately? Liu Qingge huffed.
Don't be ridiculous. Where are you going to get robes to fit that demon spawn?
Xiaozhou, please.
The sharp snap of a fan closing cut off Yue Qingyuan's useless begging. If Qingjing is still under this Peak Lord's leadership, then he is the one to decide who receives sanctuary here. If it is not, then it is not fitting for this lowly cultivator to remain. My disciple and I will take our leave and trouble Yue Zhengmen no longer. Luo Bingha trembled, torn between conflicting urges, to fall to his knees before this man, or drag him off and force him to his knees. Both had their appeal. Either way, watching Shen Qingqiu turn his sneer against his martial brothers in defense of Luo Bingha just... As Ayuan might say, it really did it for him.
If Shuzun wishes to leave, this disciple will begin packing at once, Luo Bingha said into the gaping silence.
But he didn't pull his hand from Shen Qingqiu's. In fact, he took pains to make certain the other two men noticed it. Perhaps in that time, Zhangmen Shibuo and Liu Shushu will condescend to share what they know of the dangers they are abandoning Shuzun to, casting him out into a world we've been gone from for months. The narrowing of Shen Qingqiu's gaze said he didn't appreciate Luo Bingha laying it on so thick, but the sputters from Yue Qingyuan and Liu Qingge were as sweet as morning birdsong.
Don't be ridiculous, Liu Qingge muttered, while Yue Qingyuan hastily said,
Of course Shen Shidi is lord of his peak.
As punishment for his dramatics, Luo Bingha was banished to take care of his old disciple's duties, clearing the dinner dishes, making fresh tea, cleaning the bathing area, freshening Shen Qingqiu's bed linens, while Yue Qingyuan explained what they'd missed, and Liu Qingge prowled and got in the way. He lingered over straightening up the scatter of talismans they'd used to seal away Xinwu, waiting until everyone was distracted by the tale to stash the spirit pouch in a better hiding place. It wouldn't do for either Peak Lord to sense the sword sealed inside, or ask uncomfortable questions. And the tale Yue Qingyuan told was enough to distract even Shuzun. He leaned forward, fan forgotten in his lap, as though hearing a new version of a well-known tale. The old palace master had indeed been captured during the Immortal Alliance conference. The rebel demons hoped to use him to open the array imprisoning Tian Lanjun. At the weeping pleas of the little palace mistress, the cultivation sects had banded together to keep the rebels out of Ailu Forest, and away from the mountain they'd dropped on the previous demon emperor. Then, only a week passed, the old man had been dumped on the doorstep of Xiaohua Temple, where the sects had gathered to discuss the long-term defense of the mountain prison. His body was whole, but his mind had been broken, and a powerful truth-speaking poison ran thick in his veins. The tale he babbled about his former head disciple shocked everyone. More shocking was the corroboration by one of the Xiaohua monks as to Su Xian's eventual fate, and the realization that the promising disciple lost alongside the renowned Shouya sword was the half-demon son Su Xian had sacrificed her life to protect.
The summit broke apart after that,
Yue Qingyuan finished, his tea gone cold and untouched.
We still don't know why the demons returned him.
Perhaps they hoped the truth would win sympathy from the cultivation world. Shen Qingqiu's gaze flicked to Luo Bingha. Only then did he realize he'd gone as silent and as still as fragile glass.
When the sects are better known for hypocrisy than righteousness?
Luo Bingha scoffed softly.
He tensed, ready for a fight, when Liu Qingge jolted from his seat with a growled, "You!" But the gentle touch of a fan on his arm was enough to leash Baijan's war dog. Ever willing to ignore abuses when addressing them would inconvenience him, Yue Qingyuan said,
"Whatever they might have hoped, they gave up their only advantage. The old palace master was the only one who understood Tian Lanjun's prison."
"Oh, it isn't that hard to figure out," Shen Qingqiu said with an airy wave of his fan. Luo Binghe fought a grin, as much at Liu Qingge's sputters and Yue Qingyuan's heavy sigh as at Shuzun's smugness. "The answer's in the question. How do you drop a mountain on a heavenly demon? You don't. But put an imprisonment array within a teleportation array and whoosh. Your problem and the binding array holding him is instantly buried under several li of solid rock. Neither Monkey King nor Heavenly Demon would be strong enough to move under that weight."
"So even if the old palace master revealed the secret, there's no way to get to Tian Langjun to free him,"
Yue Qingyuan said, shoulders sagging as though a mountain's weight had been lifted from them.
"Perhaps that's why they gave him up."
Shen Qingqiu took a too casual sip of tea. "All the same, we shouldn't relax our vigilance." Yue Qingyuan nodded like a puppet.
"Huanhua Palace and Songqiong have continued patrols, but it's been quiet."
"Too quiet?" Liu Qingge sat and glared at the teapot, as though heated looks alone could warm it up.
"What was done with the old palace master?"
Luo Binghe asked, abandoning any pretense that he hadn't been listening. His anger was like oversteeped tea, cold, dark, bitter. Yue Qingyuan cast a glance at Shen Qingqiu, only saying after he nodded,
"According to Mu Shidi, the truth-speaking poison exacerbates heart demons of those with lecherous inclinations. The greater the lechery, the greater the imbalance. The old palace master died of a qi deviation within hours."
"How appropriate," Shen Qingqiu murmured, gaze meeting Luo Binghe's. His mask was near perfect, but all it took was the twitch of a brow and the tightening of his lip to convey the dark humor lurking behind it. Luo Binghe disguised his own satisfaction behind a bowed head and a fall of hair made especially fluffy by his recent bath.
"One might almost say poetic."
"If only the poetry was doggerel from the brush of a hack author," Shen Qingqiu muttered, washing away his ire with a sip of tea. Luo Binghe huffed, as much at the perplexed frowns on Yue Qingyuan and Liu Qingge's faces as at Shen Qingqiu's words. "Apologies," Shen Qingqiu said, not sounding particularly sorry. "It has only been this master and his disciple for so long, and in such grim circumstances, that we've fallen into poor habits for company. We'll be better in the morning once we've had some rest."
"But..."
Both men fell silent at the snap of Shen Qingqiu's fan. "In the morning." Luo Binghe followed them to the door and stood there until they were down the path and swallowed by darkness. Then he set the door back in place. "I'll have Ming Fan fix it tomorrow." Shen Qingqiu's folded fan was pressed to his chin, his gaze unreadable. Well, unreadable to anyone else. Luo Binghe had made a study of those unreadable looks. This one he recognized as pensive, worried.
"Is Binghe okay?"
He wanted to say of course he was. Who wouldn't be? They'd escaped the endless abyss. Shen Qingqiu had stood for him, had chosen him, had threatened to leave Songqiong sect unless they accepted him, and was watching him now with worried care that he'd never shown in that other life. Gripping the frame, Luo Binghe rested his brow on the broken door, as though shadows and unruly curls would be enough to hide his weakness.
"He always saw the truth of you. That's why he hated you from the start."
Perhaps then, but that hate was in both their pasts. They'd broken each other and mended each other.
"Shuzun needn't concern himself with Xin Wu. It's sealed.
Yue Shibuo and Liu Shushu are in no danger from this one, no matter how irritating they make themselves or how much hypocrisy they spew.
A hand rested on his back, like steel to strengthen his spine. Another one, cool and dry as an afternoon breeze, brushed the fallen hair aside and tucked it behind his ear. The tips lingered on his cheeks, catching the wetness that dampened them. Tears. When had they risen? When had they fallen? And why didn't Luo Bingha recall crying them?
I didn't know about Disciple Su. About your mother. What she went through. What she gave up so you could live. Nothing of that was mentioned. I would have told you if it were.
Oh, that. Luo Bingha had barely paid the news any heed, too busy watching Yue Tingyuan and Liu Tingge vie like slobbering hounds for Shuzun's attention. Did he care? Was that the reason for the pressure in his skull and the tightness in his chest? His mother was a laundress in a village on the Luo River. What was Disciple Su Xian to him? Or Tianlong Jun, for that matter? What did he care about a family that had been stolen from him before he was even born? Why did it matter that the old palace master was father to Luo Bingha's misery long before Shen Qingqiu ever taught him to refine it into cruelty? The old man was dead. He'd paid. He didn't pay enough. He couldn't speak, couldn't find words to put to his scattered thoughts. His sight blurred, new tears wetting his cheeks. Forming fists, he let his nails gouge flesh instead of wood. His heavenly demon blood meant he would heal the damage faster than the broken door. Sighing softly, Shen Qingqiu guided him to sit on the arhat bed and pulled him into his arms. Not caring that he was the larger of the two, Luo Bingha did his best to curl small, to fit all of himself in Shen Qingqiu's embrace.
I know I should feel.
Enough of that. A light flick to his brow was hardly the reprimand Shen Qingqiu seemed to think it was. Bingha is allowed to feel how Bingha feels. There are no shoulds here. This master is glad the old palace master is already dead. Is that something he should feel? Luo Bingha lifted his head, Shen Qingqiu's face too close for hiding.
Why?
Because this old man isn't the only one susceptible to heart demons. If he lived, Luo Bingha might feel the need to seek vengeance, and I... Shen Qingqiu's white teeth buttoned the rest of his answer behind thin lips. But Luo Bingha heard what he wouldn't say. That he feared Luo Bingha's vengeance, even if it wasn't directed at him.
His fear is delicious.
He shuddered at the memory of Xin Wu's voice. His voice. His hunger. Wanting to hide from all the things he now regretted, he burrowed nose first into Shusun's comforting shoulder. With a soft oof, Shen Qingqiu fell back onto the bed. Bingha. The name alone was an admonition, exasperated but fond.
This isn't the time. I don't want.
He clung tighter in case Shen Qingqiu meant to squirm away. All his plans from earlier had splintered like shattered wood, leaving him all rough edges and weakened resolve. Forcing his grip to ease, he said in a meek voice,
"This one only wants Shuzun to hold him while we sleep."
Any other time, it would have been a ruse. Perhaps Shen Qingqiu believed it was one now. But with another sigh, he shifted so that Luo Bingha was pressed to his side instead of sprawled heavily atop him. This master can do that. Exhaustion dragged Luo Bingha under faster than he expected. He was on the edge of sleep when he felt lips brush his brow and rest there, like they'd never leave.
You need to let the past go. Shen Qingqiu said,
more breath and brush of skin than words spoken aloud, leaving him to wonder if Shuzun was talking to Luo Bingha or to himself.
That's not you anymore.
Luo Bingha expected the early summons that came the next morning via Mingfan's toothy fawning. Apologies for bothering Shuzun. Can this one do anything for Shuzun,
The Peak Lords are gathering and request you soon. He did not expect to be left behind while Mingfan was taken along like a favored pet. He is still your Shixiong and this master's head disciple, Shen Qingqiu murmured, while Mingfan ran off to retrieve implements he'd need to take notes. It would be inappropriate for anyone else to accompany me, and it will be easier to talk the others around if you aren't glaring at them from behind my shoulder. Shuzun, I wouldn't... The bamboo guard of a fan, smooth against his lips, was as good as a kiss at silencing him. Once we have things under control here, we can find out what happened with your old followers. A tap, like another kiss. They can't have thrown all their support behind this snake demon. He departed in a seven-layer swirl of silk and cool purpose. Only a day out of the endless abyss, and he'd already scrubbed all traces of it from his body and behavior, while Luo Binghe felt as rough and ragged as the frayed hem of a blood-stained robe. How long before what they'd shared ceased to matter? He's keeping you apart, but isn't it really for your protection? The pot used to serve their morning congee cracked under the strength of Luo Bingha's scrubbing. He set it aside, grabbed the sealed spirit pouch, and headed out to find something more useful to occupy himself with. If he wanted news of his demon forces, he hardly needed to wait for Shen Qingqiu to return. With Qi Qingqi called away from Xianzu Peak to attend the meeting, he didn't even have to worry about being driven off like a skulking dog. Luo Binghe found Liu Mingyan on her peak sparring grounds, facing off against Luo Shidi. Ning Yingying's brightness shone like a sword glare in this world where she'd been honed as a blade instead of sheltered like a potted flower. No longer was she a maiden in constant peril brought on by her own foolishness. Sometimes Luo Binghe missed the way she sweetly called Aluo, but on the whole, he preferred this hardier version of the first blossom of his old harem. He stumbled back a step when she careened into him, coughing out a laugh. Shijie, take pity on your weakened Shidi. I've only just returned from terrible trials. Ning Yingying's sparring partner sauntered up at a more sedate pace, her voice carrying all the amusement hidden by her veil. Men and women shouldn't be so familiar, Liu Mingyan said. Has your Shuzun been gone for so long that you've forgotten all his teachings? Oh, pooh! Ning Yingying scoffed. Her hug tightened until Luo Binghe thought he heard his ribs creak. But then she released him and bounced back to an appropriate distance. I wanted to come greet you in Shuzun this morning, but Da Shixiong was adamant that nobody was to know you were back. Luo Binghe glanced at Liu Mingyan, who seemed not in the least surprised. Her eyes crinkled in a veiled smirk. It's meant to be a secret, so of course everyone knows. Of course. Anyone who didn't know would have been tipped off by the emergency Peak Lord meeting. Which means, Ning Yingying's gaze flicked to Luo Binghe's smooth and unblemished brow, should Shidi be wandering alone outside Qingqing Peak? So that too was common knowledge. Shuzun will frown at me from behind his fan, but there's news I need to know. He looked past his Shijie to her sparring partner. I came here hoping to find one who can get it. Liu Mingyan's veil formed a mask at her indrawn breath. Luo Binghe nodded. How quickly can Liu Shimei get a message to Demon Saintess Xia Hualing? The answer, it turned out, was as quickly as the tinkle of a bell, or an anklet of them strung on a red ribbon, which Liu Mingyan wore muffled under a cloth band. She'll be waiting at the clearing at the base of the mountain, Liu Mingyan said, after she'd released the band and stomped her foot three times. Mingyan will take Shixiong there. Mounting Shuesu behind Liu Mingyan was an odd experience. Never in that past life had they ridden tandem, even though she'd been his wife. And though he was hyper-aware of the heat and tensile strength of her slender body, the grace and power in her as she swiftly guided them down the mountain, it was an awareness born of discomfort. Men and women shouldn't be so familiar with each other. he found himself in a strange sort of agreement with that old adage, wishing the shoulders he gripped were broader, the chi that energized the sword more canted towards yang energy. No, not just any energy. Only Shen Qingqiu held any savor. In hate and in love, if he placed second in Luo Bingha's esteem, nobody would dare to claim first. Xia Hualing had not yet arrived in the clearing when they landed, leaving them in awkward silence until Liu Mingyan said, "This one thanks Luo Shixiong for his efforts to save her brother in this life." As though her words were not strange enough, she cupped her hands before her and bowed more deeply than she had when they'd wed. In another life, not this one. With nothing but his tongue in his mouth, Luo Bingha still managed to choke. Liu Mingyan's veil stirred as though she was laughing.
"You remember?"
And he thought their flight down was awkward. She shook her head, rising from her bow. Lingling, Saintess Xia, shared an unlikely tale as a way of assuring this one that Shen Shushu and Luo Shixiong would return safely from the endless abyss. I wasn't certain I believed her until the news came last night.
Then Liu Shimei should also know that this one only managed to make trouble in his efforts to help her brother. Her thanks belong only to Shuzun.
Yes, but I've known that for years. She fiddled with a tassel on Chuisa.
Is it also true that you... that we...
No. Luo Bingha's vehemence startled them both. He held up empty hands before Liu Mingyan took insult and turned her blade on him.
The woman I knew was driven by loss, veiled in sadness, and this Shixiong suspects he was only a poor replacement for the brother she mourned.
He thought of Shuzun's words, the ones he sometimes muttered to himself, the ones he'd used to comfort Luo Bingha last night.
You were never her, and will never become her.
A tinkle of bells warned that they were no longer alone. And never make her terrible choice in spouses, Xia Hualing said, her voice too light and her smile too sharp to be anything but a threat. She emerged from the trees, stepping between Luo Bingha and Liu Mingyan. Jinchang, about time you returned. If Liu Mingyan's bow had been as deep as her gratitude, Xia Hualing's was as shallow as the grave she no doubt wanted to bury Luo Bingha in. But something in Xia Hualing's greeting jarred him beyond the expected marking of territory.
You aren't surprised to see me.
Only that it took you this long. We've had rumors for days that your return was imminent. She canted her head, brows scrunched as she studied his empty hands. Rumors that the demons heard, but Songqiong cultivators hadn't. Luo Bingha's fingers clenched around air as he realized what she must be looking for. Simu. The power that even saintesses and heavenly demons respected.
The power you're too weak to wield.
The power that, until recently, had been guarded by a demoness, now on her first shore leave in eons. No doubt Xin Mo's former guardian had escaped to the demon realm, only to share the tale with anyone who'd listen. Demons could be worse than old market aunties when it came to gossip. Still, it wasn't entirely inconvenient.
If this lord was expected, then he expects his generals have begun preparations for his return.
Xia Hualing's sharp nod was punctuated by a tinkle of bells. Whatever else she might be, she'd always been competent.
Good.
Perching on a rock like it was a throne, Luo Bingha waved a hand.
Then tell this lord what he has missed, and what he needs to know.
As he'd hoped, the snake demon, Zijilang, Tianlang Jun's nephew, Luo Bingha's cousin, had been too occupied with breaking his uncle out of his mountain prison to continue his resistance against Luo Bingha's conquest. The south was secured under Xia Hualing's forces, the north stable under Mulbei's, and everyone waited to see which path their new demon emperor would walk on his return, rescue his father, avenge him, or usurp him.
He is most useful to you where he is now, keeping the human sects and your demon enemies occupied fighting each other, while the mantis stalks the cicada. Sha Hualing trailed off meaningfully.
You suggest I become the oriole?
Luo Bingha fiddled with a pebble, thinking keenly of his lack of sword, if only to have something to do with his hands. Perhaps that, as much as his thin face, was why Shusun liked his fans so much.
Isn't such unfilial behavior more befitting of a cuckoo?
Liu Mingyan scoffed. But Sha Hualing, who, in two separate lifetimes, had delivered her father to Luo Bingha's blade to secure her own power, only laughed. When that laughter caused Liu Mingyan to raise her chin and stiffen her spine, Sha Hualing draped an arm over her, melting around her like candy red coating over a stick of sour hawberries.
Ah, Ling Ling is so sad when her Ayan frowns.
She pouted, and only made herself more sticky when Liu Mingyan tried to surreptitiously shrug her off.
Then it's convenient that I veil myself, she huffed, because Ling Ling only ever makes this Mingyan frown.
Now we both know that isn't true. A claw snagged at the corner of the veil, toying with it in a way that would have gotten the hand removed if it belonged to anyone else.
Why, only last month you...
What of the old palace master?
Luo Bingha interrupted, as though his presence had been forgotten. It hadn't been, of course. Sha Hualing's behavior was as much a performance for him as it was flirtation with Liu Mingyan. A staking of her claim against a demon more powerful than she was. A statement as loud as a shout that she knew she would die if Luo Bingha decided he wanted what she'd claimed, and that she was willing to do so. It might not be in Sha Hualing's nature to be filial, but her loyalty, once given, was an unshakable behemoth.
He's dead.
Both women said at once, one smirking and the other tilting her head in confusion.
Yes, but why would Zhu Jilang let him go? Why?
Aluo, Haiyan, Aluo!
Hurtling through the treetops like one of their Shuzun's spirit-charged leaves, Ning Yingying streaked towards them, trailing ribbons and tears.
You have to come!
Yinger!
Liu Mingyan stepped in front of Sha Hualing, as though Ning Yingying might be a threat, as though the demon saintess needed anyone's protection.
What's wrong? What happened?
It's Shuzun,
Ning Yingying said, answering Luo Bingha's silent fear as much as Liu Mingyan's question.
He's been taken!
It was good that Luo Bingha still sat, or he might have lost his balance from the fear that swept over him. Liu Mingyan's expression clouded like a storm front, and even Sha Hualing's feral smile dimmed.
Perhaps that's your answer, she said. He discarded the old man for a better tool.
I'll inform Mo Beijun and the other generals that were mobilizing. After depositing a red-smeared kiss on Liu Mingyan's temple, she swept off in a swirl of silk and bells. Liu Mingyan drew Shuise.
I'll take Shixiong back at once.
No need, Luo Bingha said, pulling out the spirit sealing pouch and drawing Xin Wu from it. Sha Hualing wasn't the only one who would challenge a more powerful foe to keep what was hers. Nothing comes between me and what's mine.
I can get back myself, he said, and carved a hole through reality.
Wife plot. That's what Shuzun had called them with a dismissive sneer and snort, one evening in the Endless Abyss, while they feasted on the Singing Isle Duckadile that they'd killed earlier that day. Luo Bingha had laughed, recalling the many times this wife or that had run afoul of an old enemy. Oftentimes it had been a wife he'd long since forgotten he had, and the trouble resulted in a temporary reignition of passions long dormant. He wasn't laughing now. His passion for Shen Tingqiu had never waned, not in that life or this one. Changed, but never waned. Luo Bingha emerged from the wound in reality like an arrow shot clean through flesh, bone, and sinew. Songqiong's peak lords milled about the Qiongding meeting hall like squabbling geese, all honking opinions and ruffled feathers. Useless.
Where is he?
He demanded, leveling his blade at where Shang Tinghua cowered behind a bemused Qi Tingqi.
Luo Bingha didn't think much of the man, but Molbei's squeaking rodent had proven himself useful on occasion, and loyal, if only to his own sense of self-preservation. Who took him? A squeak of terror was the only response he got before others interposed themselves. Liu Tingge and Yue Tingyuan, two obstacles not easily removed. He could do it, but he was pressed for time. The longer he used Xinwu, the more he relied upon it, the greater the likelihood that the danger to Shen Qingqiu would be Luo Bingha himself. "Not anymore," came a voice he could no longer trust as his own. "The rest of the world can burn, so long as he remains." Shaking his head to clear his thoughts, Luo Bingha said to the obstacles, "Move, or this lord will move you." "Try," Liu Qingge grunted, raising Chengluan to meet Luo Bingha's threat. A challenge that would be laughable if Luo Bingha were in a mirthful mood. "Liu Shidi, please. We have enough enemies without making more out of each other." As mild and mealy as playing kanji, Yue Tingyuan placed a hand on the war god's arm. If he'd been attempting to subdue anyone else, the blade might have lowered under his coaxing strength. Liu Qingge just growled and jerked free, the threat of his sword glare undimmed. "Where is he?" It was the last time Luo Bingha would ask. Nobody here was his friend. If he couldn't make use of them, what good were they except as fuel to give Xinwu the strength he needed to recover Shusun? When no answer was forthcoming, his own sword glare flashed blood dark, a shadow to Chengluan's brightness. "Ah!" Shang Tinghua stepped between them, arms wheeling as though he'd been shoved. He froze, cross-lit and trembling in a wash of blue and red light. Gulping down what was probably an incipient scream, he instead let out a thin and thready laugh. "Wouldn't Shen Shixiong be so touched to see how concerned everyone is for him?"
Shang Shidi has the right of it," Yue Qingyuan said, dragging the trembling Peak Lord out of sword range. "And disappointed to see us fighting instead of joining forces to find him." "Then stop wasting this lord's time with words that aren't answers. You failed to protect him in the past," he said to Yue Tingyuan, relishing the man's flinch. "What foolishness makes you think you can now, and you?" He met Chengluan's glare with a dismissive sneer. "Are little more than a corpse who doesn't know he's dead yet." "They failed him. They failed you. The only thing they ever did well was dying."
Jinshang, maybe if we..." Shang Tinghua, who had knowledge of the last world and knew what Luo Bingha was capable of, meeped when the attention of the room turned to him. His lopsided bun wobbled as Luo Bingha pinned him into place with a glare.
"Maybe if we what?"
Luo Bingha prodded with his words rather than blade, which he thought was rather magnanimous of him. "Just... the longer we argue, the longer Shen Qingqiu is in danger."
"He is not so easily broken."
Luo Bingha wanted it to be pride behind that thought, in the man who twice pushed him to find the strength he needed to make this world bow to him. The first time out of cruelty, the second out of, what, guilt? Obligation? Did it matter? But it was experience that birthed his confidence. Shen Qingqiu hadn't given in before, under Luo Bingha's careful torture. Could anyone else ever shake his composure? "I will cut off their hands for trying."
"This lord is not arguing, only stating facts and demanding answers. You let him be taken, I will retrieve him.
And never allow him to leave our sight again." Qi Qingqi was the one who broke the detente with a huff and roll of her eyes like they were mere bickering disciples. "We don't know who took him. After our meeting adjourned, he left for his peak to deal with." She swept a hand down to encompass both Luo Bingha and Xinwu. "He never arrived. Some beaten Baijan disciples stumbled over here and informed us they failed to protect their Shushu while he was crossing the Rainbow Bridge."
"Useless."
Turning on Liu Qingge, Luo Bingha demanded, "Where's that trash now?"
Mu Qingfang spoke before the war dog could bark his answer. Unconscious at my peak, and you will not be questioning them. Luo Bingha was about to correct the doctor, forcibly if need be, when Chang Qinghua peeked over the edge of the table he'd taken shelter behind.
Do we need to question them? I mean, we know who took him, right? It's obvious.
Yes, it was. Who else had the means, the motive, and as Shen Qingqiu would say, the narrative role to do so? Luo Bingha's grip on Xin Wu tightened. It seemed Xia Hualing was right. Someone had decided Shen Qingqiu was a superior tool to the old palace master. We will skin that snake for his daring. Jiji Lang. This time, Xin Mo's portal spat Luo Bingha into a moss-carpeted clearing on a wooden slope. He'd never been to Bailu Mountain, had only the vaguest notion of where it was in relation to Huanhua Palace, thanks to patrol reports from his last life. But the hum of an active, powerful warding array was enough to tell him he'd landed in the right place. It was the work of moments, and three swings of Xin Mo, to shadow the array into nothing. The backlash battered against his chi, sweeping over his meridians like a breaking dam washing through a village. He used Xin Wu to siphon off the worst of the flood and prevent wreckage. It was power the sword was too happy to consume, thirsty ground left dry and cracked for too long. A starving beast is easier controlled than a well-fed one. The voice in his head no longer sounded like his own. Instead, it was Shen Qingqiu's, dripping with censure, always seeing him at his worst, his dullest, his most pathetic, always judging. Shen Qingqiu would have come up with some clever way to break the array. He didn't need to resort to brutish force. He'd developed his power through years of effort against terrible trials, not had it handed to him the moment the birth seal broke. What else can one expect from a beast? That voice said.
Shut up, shut up, shut up! Luo Bingha shouted, clutching his head with one hand.
But he could no more ignore the truth than he could hold back the flood. It washed over him, found the cracks, sank deep into his foundations. The long dormant seeds of his heart demon sprouted thirsty roots seeking more, and finding the deep well of blood and rage that was Xin Wu. Luo Bingha's mind cleared, snapping out of what had probably been the beginnings of a chi deviation. Beast he might be, but that gave him tools that his precious Shuzun would sneer at. With Xin Wu dragging a furrow through the moss, he stalked through the clearing, through the shattered array that had withstood armies. Something tickled his senses beyond hearing, touch, or scent, the inner awareness he always had of his own blood. His blood, and family too, it would seem. That tickle led him to a twisted old pine tree, and a snake burrow hidden among the roots, no bigger around than a fist. Another slash from Xin Wu shattered the tree to kindling and opened up the hole so that Luo Bingha could stand upright with the roof just brushing his curls. Not waiting for the dust to settle, he put his first-class spiritual tool to work as a mattock and carved his way into the mountainside with only the light of his Weiyin and the faint scent of family blood to guide him. With each strike to the rocks ahead, he opened a rift behind and shoveled massive chunks of mountain out of his path. Baijan Peak was covered in broken boulders. What mattered a few more? The deeper he dug, the more the mountain bore down upon him. Not the weight. Luo Bingha had built enough fortresses and fortifications in his last life to know the strength of a well-carved arch. But the spiritual oppressiveness, as though the mountain was the world, determined to crush the spirit, the hope, the potential out of a lowly orphan, a lowly half-demon who dared to exist. Pockets of groundwater dripped down, wetting his hair and staining his cheeks with iron-rich tears, like cold tea dumped over his head. Every stray rock that bounced off his shoulder was a stone hurled at a child hungry for food, for approval, for warm clothes and a vermin-free bed. Every root that lashed free from his efforts was the discipline whip, slicing bare skin to punish imagined wrongs and slights. Dust thickened his throat and eyes, made his heart heavy and dead within his chest.
Even a beast knows better than to love a cruel master. Why go to such trouble for someone who only learned different ways to hurt you? Better ways, like this. Did your Shuzun even need to lift a finger for the smallest shred of attention, Bingha? Shen Qingqiu's sneer made the sweetness of his name cloy like rotted meat. Is eager enough to torment himself.
Shut up.
Luo Bingha growled through the grit scraping his throat and dug deeper. Following the faint trail of a snake burrow and the fainter wisps of a despair that had fermented longer than he'd been alive. And then the burrow stopped, the meat-thick stink of blood even stronger than the despair. Sigils pulsing gold with spiritual energy were etched into the rubble at his feet. The layers of them peeled unnaturally away, as though Xinwol's strikes could go that far and no farther. But beyond them, the snake had cleverly dug out a small hollow. Above, around, not much. It must have taken years of dedicated effort and vast stores of demonic energy to eat away at even that much stone. But it was enough to give a tsun of space around the head, shoulders, one emaciated arm. The trapped demon propped his chin on a flat hand and looked up at Luo Bingha with a grin too wide to be sane and eyes too similar for comfort. He might have been handsome once. But now he was all maggot-pale flesh draped over a thin skull. His hair was a wispy crown, as dry and brittle as swamp grass. Ah, nephew's plan worked. Though it seems we're no better than the villains who trapped me, using your precious one to lure you here. He couldn't lift his arm to wave expansively, but the feel of expansiveness was there, even in the restricted twiddle of his fingers. Like the grin, it was painted parchment over pain. At least it isn't a trap.
That distinction does not make this lord inclined to assist you, Luo Bingha said, through the thickness of dust and old blood.
Ah, so unfilial, said Tian Langjun, for it had to be Tian Langjun. Who else was buried beneath Bai Lu Mountain? Who but a heavenly demon could survive this hell?
I have no father, Luo Bingha told him, and my mother was a laundress in a village on the Luo River.
And I'm to blame for that? The smile went sharp, flashing forth and withdrawing as quickly as an assassin's blade. Only the blood-dim glow of Tian Langchun Zuyin remained, making his eyes glitter like a fevered man's. Perhaps there were tears, who could say?
For years I thought my Xian betrayed me. My Xian... until nephew brought me the truth from her master's lying tongue.
Tian Langjun licked blood crust from his lips, and Luo Bingha wondered for a moment if he'd eaten that tongue, before recalling that the old palace master had been delivered to the upstanding sects in good enough shape to confess before a chi deviation ripped through him. In that way, his father and cousin were kinder than he would have been.
And see what that brought them. Kindness is a currency worth less than air. Hate, rage, and pain are the only things with lasting value.
Been there for her, for you, but even I can't move mountains when I'm pinned beneath them. Tian Langjun's gaze drifted to Xinwol. But you can, hung unspoken, as thick and gritty as the drifting silt from Luo Bingha's excavation efforts.
What is a tragedy for you means nothing to me,
Luo Bingha said coldly.
I want Shuzun back.
Does vengeance mean nothing to you? The despair-deadened embers of Luo Bingha's heart stirred. Blood pounded through his ears like the drumbeat of war.
Vengeance, yes.
He'd always fed well on vengeance, but...
the old palace master is dead.
He is not the only one who put me here.
Isn't the entire cultivation world to blame? Do you think they'll treat you any more kindly, even that precious Shuzun of yours? From what nephew has heard, he's the one poised with the blade to destroy you.
Luo Bingha slammed Xinwol into the rock above Tian Lengjun's head to silence him, but it only sparked laughter.
Ha! If you won't heed your father's wisdom, at least learn from his foolishness. I once dreamed that merging the realms would force us to learn from each other,
But what's the point when all we can teach is the same lesson of cruelty without end? Better to bring it all down and start anew.
Like we did before.
Yes, when life seemed cruel and pointless, when not even hate, rage, or pain was enough to sate him, when he'd yielded to his own murder because the peace of nothingness seemed preferable to continuing on as a thing dead inside.
How do you stop them?
Luo Bingha had asked Shen Qingqiu about cycles of abuse. This master recommends dying and being reborn into a kinder and gentler life. Xin Mu had given him that chance, returned him to a kinder time, a kinder Shuzun, to find healing and forgiveness and absolution, a second chance. Didn't his father deserve that chance? Didn't everyone? Tear it all down. End it. Who can do it for them if not us?
Come on.
Luo Bingha carved through the golden array, trapping Tianlong Jun like it was silken tofu, breaking the rock pinning him into mere rubble. Ending the world would require great sacrifice. The blood of a heavenly demon should suffice.
I assume you know where to find your nephew?
His cousin. A second sacrifice should one prove inadequate.
My Guridge. Ah, but give an old man a moment to rise from his bed.
No time, Luo Bingha said, tossing Tianlong Jun over his shoulder like limp laundry. He slashed a portal open and stepped through into chaos.